The Purpose Driven Mother Podcast, show number one. Ooh, ooh. What's going on, Radiant Mothers? I am Alicia Askew, host of the Purpose Driven Mothers Podcast, where mothers are having the conversation not about trying to be the perfect mother, but embracing the woman who they are. Hear from the most courageous and inspiring mothers who share their story on how they went beyond the apron, discovered their purpose, and are achieving their greatest desires. Peeling off the layers of their most vulnerable moments and lessons learned, these mothers have found the drive that they need to help them thrive on their purpose-driven journey. Stay tuned and learn how you can become that purpose-driven mother. All right, ladies, I am super excited about our guest today, Jessica Rhodes. She is a purpose-driven mother who is an entrepreneur and started her business when she was only 6 months pregnant. It did not take her long to realize that she was committed to being a stay-at-home mom. So while she was working full-time, it was the purpose behind starting her business is what gave her the drive to thrive on her journey. She is the founder of Entrepreneur Support Services, Inc., which is the parent company of InterviewConnections.com, also known as the premier source for booking outstanding podcast guests. So in addition, she works with entrepreneurs to support social media marketing through the power of Pinterest and eye-catching infographic design. She is the host of weekly web TV show, Interview Connections TV, and the Roads to Success podcast. So please help me welcome Jessica Rhodes to the show. Thank you so much, Jessica, for joining me today. I am super excited to have you, but I am sure that you can do a much better job of sharing your story and how you are now a purpose-driven mother.
Sure. Well, most importantly, I am a mother. I started my business so I could be a stay-at-home mom. When I was working the job I had before I became a business owner, I was working at a nonprofit organization running a door-to-door field canvas. It's something that I had been doing for years and years and I really loved, but working in an office, long hours, working outside, it just wasn't a job that was going to give me the time that I wanted to be able to have with my kid. And so I made the decision to really switch career paths. And my dad is actually a business coach, so he helped me start a virtual assistant business. And so that business really took off because I really focused on looking at services that were really needed and mm-hmm. services that weren't necessarily being provided a lot. So specifically booking people for interviews on podcasts, helping connect podcasters with great guests is something I started offering right as podcasting started to really take off in the small business community. So that's kind of who I am. I'm a virtual assistant. I'm a business owner, entrepreneur, and I'm a mother. I'm a twin sister and a wife.
Oh, wow. So you do a little bit of everything, plus being a twin sister. Jeez. Okay. So that is very interesting. And I was kind of wondering, how did you even come up with this idea, this creation of connecting podcasters with podcastees? That is just so amazing. Another thing that I do want to touch on is most mothers, you know, they are trying to come into their own and find something that they can do that's along the line of their purpose. So how can mothers figure out what is needed in order for them to create something new?
I was listening to Allie Brown's podcast this morning. It's called Glambition Radio. And one of the things that her and her guests were talking about was how women business owners, women entrepreneurs have either a purpose-driven business or they have a business where, and the purpose for them having the business is what drives them. So mm-hmm. for me, the purpose that drives me is being a mom and being able to be at home as much as possible and seeing my son as much as possible. So it's not necessarily about what I'm doing in my business as much as it is about what that gives me the ability to do. So going back to your question, I think that a lot of entrepreneurs, people that want to start businesses, mom entrepreneurs are thinking more about what do I like to do and how can I make money on that? And I would just challenge you to think a little bit differently because what you like to do might not be what's going to make you money and it might not be
Exactly.
what's going to be a successful business. I mean, you could love to knit. You could love to knit blankets and little, baby socks and stuff like that. And it's not to say that if you're a really savvy business owner and have the right partners and everything, you can't be successful, but that might not be bringing in the big bucks tomorrow and next week. So I would really think about, don't worry, because I started doing a lot of tasks in my virtual assistant business that were very mundane. I can tell you, and one of the tasks that I still do to this day is I check the links on one of my clients' website to make sure they're not broken. I'm telling you, 45 minutes of just clicking links. I mean, it's mindless work. It's not necessarily luxurious, awesome, glamorous work, but you know what? It gets me money in the door, which
That's
gives me
true.
the ability to stay at home and grow my business and do things that I do really enjoy. So, I guess I would just say is focus on, not necessarily worrying about work or a business that you really, really enjoy, but just start getting money in the door because then that can lead you to more opportunities and the ability to kind of change up what you're doing down the road.
You just made a really strong and valuable point there, that I do hope that a lot of mothers did catch, because a lot of people, they want to find their purpose. They want to figure out who they are. And sometimes it's just about having the reason behind why you're doing what you're doing is the ultimate purpose. I never really understood before, before I became a mother, why people would say my purpose is being a stay-at-home mom. And until I became a mother, it clicked and I got it. I was working 55 hours a week. I barely got to see my son. When I went to work, he was asleep. When I came home, he was asleep. So now I get, why mothers want to be there for their children and why they want to just help them to grow and develop on their own instead of, seeing them for maybe 4 to 5 hours a week. And the child is spending much of their time with, some other caretaker or caregiver. So I completely get what you mean by saying that the reason behind your actions is what causes, it's what develops your purpose. Okay, so what were your childhood dreams and how did you gain clarity about which action or which dream you should go after in life? Do you remember anything like you were saying, oh, I want to be an astronaut or I want to, perform on stage?
That's so funny. So when I was young, that really was my childhood dream. And I'm talking
That's
really young.
awesome.
That was like the first thing I wanted to do, be an astronaut. And then my older brother told me that people die when they go to space. So I quickly. That's why I love siblings. And I think siblings are so great is because they really give you a reality check sometimes. So that funny enough, that was my childhood dream. But really, what I wanted to do for a really long time, up until about the start of college, was I wanted to be an actress. And I did theater, musical theater. I was always singing in the choir and, taking dancing lessons and singing lessons. And I really wanted to be on Broadway. And so that's what I was doing all through school, through high school. I was always in the school musicals. And I really wanted to be on stage. And so funny because my high school theater teachers, funny enough, ironically enough, were saying, don't major in theater. Don't pursue this because it's such a hard field to be successful in. And you have to be all in. Like it ha you have to eat, just like in business, you've got to eat, sleep, and breathe. It has to be 100%. And I just started to realize, I mean, number one, I wasn't good enough. I loved it, but I was not good enough. I was not the best singer. I was never the best actress, but I loved it at the time. And so it's funny because my parents were always telling me, they were always trying to say like, oh, you might not want to go to an art school. You might not want to just study theater because it just limits your possibilities. But I didn't really accept that tip until my teacher told me. They said,
Oh,
my parents told me one day we're sitting at the dinner table, and I just said, I don't think I'm going to major in theater, or I don't think I'm going to go to, an art school. And my parents were like, after all this time of them telling me, it wasn't until a teacher told me. It's like kids just don't want to listen to their parents, even if they're right. So, yeah, so that was my childhood dream. And I actually did go to Temple University, and my first semester I did major in theater, but I quickly switched out and switched to communications, which gave me a lot of the background and background knowledge into, just communication and organizational communication, which has been a good foundation for being a business owner.
Oh, wow, that is so cool. I actually had the dream, the childhood dream of being an actress as well. But my parents, they shot that down really quick. So I didn't even get a chance to live in it or, try to do different things with it. But that is so cool.
It
Oh,
was a
so
great thing
cool.
to do as a kid, but yeah, I mean, I actually will see, people on Facebook that I went to high school with, and actually a lot of people that were in theater with me in high school have actually have made careers out of it, but they were the people that ate, slept, and breathed theater, and it is like who they are to the core, and they are doing anything to make it happen, and I just realized that was me.
That is too funny. Okay, so you are a young hot mama. So why did you have children at such a young age? Why not wait until you had your career up and running and off the ground, and then, have your children once everything was more stable?
Well, I'm so glad that you asked this. So yeah, so I'm 26. I'll be 27 next month. So I am a young hot mama. Thank you so much. I really wanted. It's so funny because my parents always thought that I would be the one to. I have a twin sister and two older brothers. They always thought that I would be the one to, have a career and have kids later. And honestly. I mean, first of all, like the reason I met my husband when I was 19. We dated for several years, and I got married when I was 23 or 24. And then, a year and a half into our marriage, or a year or so, like not even long after we were married, like we just wanted kids. We just, I mean, I was working at my nonprofit job and everything, but I just got to a point where I was like, this. I need kids to feel more fulfilled, and I always wanted to be a mom, and also, getting into your like early to mid 20s, it's different than being in college. You don't have that specific like social circle around you. You need to create your own social circle because you go to work, and you just gotta. It's life just changes, and like. I just really just it hit me where I just decided, I want my family to be at the core of who I am. And I don't know if it would be different if I were living closer to siblings and my parents, because I live about 5 hours away from most of them. But for me, like I just really wanted to create my own family. And I mean, I've never felt so fulfilled as I feel as a mom. So, and the other thing just about having kids younger is, well, first of all, I think, a lot of people listening to this show, if a lot of people listening to the show are, entrepreneurs, and I didn't trade a kid for a career or vice versa. Like I'm still having a thriving career, as a mom, but also I really am excited about the fact that when I am 45, my kids are going to be out of the house.
And then
And
you'll
I'll
still
still be
have
young
plenty of
enough to
time.
have fun and go on
Exactly.
trips with my husband. So I would rather
Exactly.
like have kids young when I've got energy than wait till I'm like 60 and they're finally going to college and I'm like getting old and tired.
Hilarious, and I love it. Okay, I see you on social media. I talk to you, on the phone or whatever, and you have such a bright and positive personality. So, where does your happiness come from?
Oh, that's so sweet. You asked such great questions, Alicia. So I, it's funny because, people kind of like recognize that about me. Like somebody said, I do weekly videos, and another mom on Facebook said, wow, you look so serene. You're so calm. And like, why aren't you like, you don't seem that stressed out. And the honest answer, I'm not that stressed out. I mean, I'm like everyone, there's stuff that stresses me out. I mean, I had like five back-to-back calls today and I'm going into it like, oh my God, how am I going to get everything done? But honestly, I just look at life. I'm like, I'm alive. I am healthy. I have a beautiful son. I have an awesome husband. I have a great, like, what is there to be mad, like, sad or mad about? I mean, there's just so much greatness in life. And so I've just always had that positive outlook. Yeah, I just make a really conscious effort. And it really changed for me, I think, when I started my business. And I think that's, I really attribute a lot of that to having a business, because when I started my business and I realized that my online presence, social media presence would really reflect on me as an entrepreneur and really affect if people wanted to do business with me, I had to be positive, because people don't want to do business with the people that are complaining and posting negative political articles and stuff like that. So really early on in my business, I stopped posting anything controversial, anything political. The closest you'll see me do around election time is like, get out there and vote, but I'm not going to say who to vote for. And that's really different from who I used to be. I worked for a political nonprofit. I got really angry at the man. I got really angry at injustice. And that stuff still pisses me off, pollution and inequality and all that stuff. But I just choose to focus my energy on what is right in the world.
I know. So let's go back to the confidence piece that you had touched on. So it is very, very easy to, put on a mask, disguise yourself, and just post all things positive on social media. But in actuality, on the inside or just in your normal day-to-day life, it might not be the case. So, like you had said, you have this light within you. So, how does a person find or develop that confidence so that when they're interacting with people face to face, that they are their true and real self?
That's a really, really good question. And I think that is true about social media, and that a lot of times we look really perfect. Everyone looks perfect and calm and serene and happy on social media. But yeah, I mean, how do you do that in real? Well, first of all, I think the answer is you just have to be a happy person. It's hard to, fake it in real life if you're
That's
not
true.
a happy person. So, but I just think it's about, being true to who you are. I mean, since I work online and I don't get out face to face with a lot of other entrepreneurs and necessarily a lot of people during the week, I really like podcasting and having videos. It helped me to become more authentic in those videos when I channel like who I am when I go to conferences. So I specifically, like when I started my podcast, I thought about how I interact with people at conferences. And I thought of specific interactions, like when I would meet up with, business friends and stuff at Podcast Movement or at New Media Expo. I thought about how I really act with them, like, oh my gosh, hey, how's it going? And like, really, just I get kind of like bubbly and energetic and make stupid jokes. And so I channeled that, because that doesn't always come out when I'm just around the house with my husband and my son, just like kind of being mellow. So I really channeled who I am when I meet people out at these conferences. And I try to put that personality through my podcast and my videos as much as possible.
Oh, wow. That is an awesome point. And I completely can see how, just interacting through somebody with the computer can make a difference. For me, I am a stay-at-home mom and I'm also running my business. So my son, he's only 2 years old, but I don't really have much interaction with people. So at times I do feel like I have lost myself because I'm not around anybody. And with it getting cold outside, I am not.
Oh my gosh, I know.
But
Where what state do you live in?
I'm in North Carolina.
Oh my gosh, you're not even in, I'm in Rhode Island, girl.
I could not even imagine being way up there. It's too cold for me. So, yeah, like I was saying, since I am not interacting with a lot of people, I do kind of find myself getting in a mundane role. And so, just by me starting this business alone and doing this podcast where I'm, actually engaging with people, having good food for thought kind of conversations, it really livens me up and it gives me that energy and that spirit that I need to kind of just get back into my normal self and just be who I am. And so that's why I am really excited about doing this podcast with you today.
Oh yeah, definitely. And that's so great. I mean, there's like got to be a secret club for mom entrepreneurs working from home. I mean, yeah, there is like a really big challenge. And I listen to podcasts about, with online entrepreneurs, but it's really different when you have kids too, because there's just a whole other thing that you need to juggle. Like, it's not as easy to just go work. I mean, a lot of people say, "Oh, go work at a coffee shop that gets your own." I'm like, I can't. Like, I've got, first of all, I share a car with my husband. So when he has the car, like, I don't live in a city. So if I'm walking out the street, I'm not going anywhere. I mean, there's not much around me. So I like to have another thing I like to do in addition to podcast interviews. I like to just hop on video Skype chats as much as possible. If you need to, like, if an email gets going back and forth enough, sometimes I'll just say, "Hey, let's hop on Skype, let's talk, over the phone." And that really helps. Like, I'm on Skype all the time, just messaging back and forth with people. But yeah, just being able to hop on a phone call, it does help connect you. Because yeah, sometimes it can, like, I swear to you, especially during the winter, there are some days where I real like 2 days go by and I realize I haven't even gone to the mailbox.
Oh man, so somebody could have sent you a check and you wouldn't even notice.
In reality, like, sometimes it just, you're like, oh my gosh, I haven't even, because you wake up, you're with your kids, and you run your
The
business,
day
you're with
goes
your
by.
kids, and then you're like hitting the couch and you're like, oh, what's the weather outside?
I love it. Okay, so your family is about 5 hours away. So what in the world does your support network look like?
Oh, that is a good question. So, I mean, really, my support system, it still is my family, and that's kind of the value that social media, Skype, FaceTime really brings. Like, I'm really close with my parents and my
That's good.
family. We talk all the time. We once a day, once every other day, we're on the phone. Especially with my son Nathan, they want to see him, so we FaceTime a lot. Since my dad's an entrepreneur, he works from home, so he's on Skype, so we'll be, Skyping back and forth if we need things. So my support system is definitely my parents. I mean, obviously, it goes without saying, my husband's a huge support system for me personally, but just in terms of the family, it's definitely, our parents. And then, I mean, like, we've got a great nanny. She works with us, 20 hours a week and watches Nathan. And, of course, we pay her, but she is awesome and just
That's good.
very supportive of us and loves Nathan. So that's a huge help. And, I've even been making the case to my husband why my family lives in Pennsylvania and we're in Rhode Island. And I've been making the case to him why we should move back to Pennsylvania in a few years because, I just think about long term. What I want my kids' childhood to look like. And I grew up with my grandparents, my Nana and Pops, not far away. They would be able to come to our choir concerts and our sporting events and stuff like that. And so, I was thinking, like, right now it's fine just having FaceTime and Skype, but I was just thinking about when my kids are in elementary school and middle school and high school. I think it'll be really more important to have them close.
Jessica, I completely agree with you on that. My family, they are in Florida, so it's about a 10 to 12 hour drive just for one of us to come and visit. So growing up, my family, we were very close. And so it does break my heart that, my parents have to miss out on special occasions for my son. So I can really see how, moving closer would make a world of a difference. Because even for holidays, not being able to see them, that really breaks my heart. And that is one of the good things about me starting my own business, is because now I don't have any excuses. I should be able to go and see them for the holidays without any problem.
What
So,
brought you to North Carolina?
well, my family is from North Carolina, and so is my husband's family. They're from North Carolina. So my parents, they retired in Florida pretty much because it's way too cold in North Carolina.
Yeah,
Okay.
definitely.
All right, so entrepreneurship, that pretty much runs in your family's blood. So do you think your son is going to grow up into the entrepreneur realm?
I hope so. I do. It's funny because my husband's in a totally different line of work. He He's a lawyer by trade. He works, he his job, he's a director of a nonprofit organization. So, you know, he's in a very different line of work. And so I'm always like, I want Nathan to grow up and be an entrepreneur. And he's like, I want Nathan to grow up and be an activist. So it's kind of funny. I mean, ultimately, obviously, as parents, we want to be supportive of whatever our kids want to
Of
do. But I
course.
feel really passionate about entrepreneurship because just in general, kids are not taught about entrepreneurship. I mean, all you hear for a long time is that most businesses fail. So who in their right mind is going to start a business then if that's all they know about it? And well, you know, my business hasn't failed yet. It's doing pretty good for me. So if somebody had told me not to start it, I mean, that would be really bad advice. So you know, I would love for my son to grow up entrepreneurial. I think it's a great, and I think kids in general are. I think it's something that kids unlearn over time. So yeah, I think that would be great.
Oh, yeah. Without a shadow of a doubt, I believe that my son, even though he's only 2 years old, I believe that he would probably go down the path of being an entrepreneur. Both my husband and I, we are, business owners. And so he's going to grow up and take some kind of active role in both of our businesses. I mean, even though I have a mom business, that does not mean that he can't do some kind of creative activity or task where he can be a contributing member. So I wouldn't doubt that he would probably become an entrepreneur, but we are open to whatever path that he chooses. And for mothers with children, who are still in the home, or even if they're older, I really promote having your children help you with their business if it is their interest, because I believe that they can learn something from their business, and then you're also building that relationship between the both of you. Like your son was helping you with your business the other day, doing the recording of the bloopers. So that's just one way that they see that you are actually working, but you are enjoying what you're doing.
Well, I think it's also really, you know, kids pick up on everything. And my son, he'll be 2 in March, so we've got you know, our kids are really close in age, and so they're still young, but they pick up on everything. And I just think about how I don't want my kids to grow up seeing mom and dad finish the workday grumpy because they didn't want. I don't want to see my kids watch us say, "Oh, I don't want to go to work," because, gosh, so many people, that's what it's like for them every single day. They live for the weekend. They work for the weekend. And, you know, I work for every day, you know, like I work for the flexibility to, you know, there was one, what's so funny, there's one Friday afternoon and I was just really stressed out. I had a headache and it was 3 o'clock. Nathan was napping, which means I should be working. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take a friggin' bubble bath right now because I'm really stressed out and nobody could tell me otherwise. And so I did. And I'm like, that's the kind of stuff. I don't work just to have Saturday and Sunday off and a week of vacation. So I want my son and my, you know, my future kids to grow up seeing that life doesn't have to be 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, that you can make of it what you want. And but to make that happen, it is hard work. You know, that starting a business is not easy, and that, you know, you gotta invest money and you gotta, you know, be broke for a while, but there's such opportunity that lies within it. So I think that's an important lesson for kids to have.
But you know, Jessica, that broke stage is either the make it or the break it stage. And for some people, it's that drive and thrive moment where they hit the rock bottom and they say, you know what? I am not going to give up. I am a fighter. And they are going to keep rising and rising to the top. And then for some other people, unfortunately, they break and they eventually go back to doing what they were doing, even though they feel pitiful, they don't like what they were doing, or it's not enough of the resources, or there's not enough purpose or meaning behind the actions that they are doing. So that's a really good point that you did bring up there. And then I also want to touch back on the child when their parents are coming home feeling grumpy, the parents barely want to talk to the children because they had a bad day at work. All of that negative energy goes into the child. And so the child, they're going to carry that with them to school, in their homework, with their peers. And so it's going to affect them overall on their performance. So all of that frustration and grumpiness from the parents, it's just not a good energy or environment for any child to grow up in.
Oh, I totally agree with that. A quick story about just, kids picking up on everything. I'm in a group called the Fat Apocalypse. So it's a coaching group. I have fitness coaches, and they kind of help us with like eating a, paleo diet, losing fat, working out, and just living an active lifestyle. And one of the other members of the group, she's a mom with a young kid, and she posted a video of her, she was working out in their home, and she has like 4 or 5 year old, and the little 4 or 5 year old was like running around, kind of doing the workout. And at first, it was just kind of funny, but then I found like, wow, he is imitating what you're doing. And because you are working out, that's what he's doing. If you were sitting there watching TV, he'd be sitting there watching TV. So it's so important that whatever you want your kids, if you want your kids to be growing up, feeling positive about life, taking life into their own hands, taking responsibility, doing, eating right, working out, you really have to live that yourself, because they're just going to copy everything we do.
Oh my goodness, I cannot believe how much of a sponge my child is. He soaks up everything. And then some of the things that I know I didn't teach him, or I know that my husband didn't teach him, it's like, where did you get that from? So, yes, kids, they soak up everything. And that is one of the reasons why I do try my best to be a positive role model and, make good decisions, do healthy habits so that they can pick up that and hopefully, have all of their weight on the right foot. So, what advice can you give to mothers who are kind of torn between working their way up a corporate ladder or going after their purpose as far as being a business owner?
Well, I just think it's the bottom line is doing what fulfills you. Being a business owner and being an entrepreneur is not for everybody. And, we need all different types of people. I mean, like we need people that work in government. We need people to run nonprofits. We need people to flip our burgers. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with whatever path you choose. I just think the most important thing is to do what fulfills you, do what's best for your family and makes you happy. Obviously being an entrepreneur myself, I'm super passionate about it, but again, it's like not this is not, not everyone is cut out to be an entrepreneur. I was just having a conversation with my brother, and he's, in between jobs right now and really just trying to figure out what he wants to do. And what he said is he's not really entrepreneurial. He's like, I just want a job. I want a schedule and I want a paycheck. I want a 401k account. I just want that security so that way, I feel comfortable when, on my free time. And so that's what's best for him. I thrive on that risk and that uncertainty. Like, I never have a guaranteed paycheck, but for me, I thrive on the ability to take a risk and potentially have somebody email me and say, I'm ready to invest $500 in your services right now. Like, I love that. But that is not for everybody because you might not have those emails coming in and those customers signing up. So I just think like you really have to do what makes you happy and what's best for you and your family.
Well, that was a very good point that you made. I mean, it is very true that some people are better workers when they have structure and kind of have a planned out, organized day ahead of them where they know where the money's coming from, they know where the clients are coming from, and other people they thrive off of not knowing. So that is a good point that you made there. So what about key lessons learned? What did you learn or take away from your journey so far?
Oh boy, key lessons learned. There's so many, and I almost never have time to like sit back and think about like what lessons I've learned. I would just say the big lesson is just having a strong marriage, a strong partnership, and I mean obviously if there's single mothers listening, just that strong support system with whoever is partnering with you in life, because even if you're not married or if you don't have a spouse, like you have parents and friends that are helping you, and just having really strong communication with the people in your life who are with you side by side. I mean, I was listening to my good friend Susie Miller, who actually you should interview on this podcast. She'd be great. She is a marriage and relationship coach, and she's like my go-to gal. I'll call her up whenever I have the littlest issue, like my husband is really irritable about this. What do I do about it? Like anything like that. Because when you're starting a business, when you're a mom, when you're starting a business, your business is like a second baby. It
Yes,
requires so much
it
of your time and attention. It brings you joy and it brings you frustration. And it's like a second spouse. It's like a second baby. And one of the things I was listening to Susie's interview on the Business of Marriage podcast, and they were really talking about how when you have a business, you're really bringing a legal third party into your marriage and into
pretty
your
much.
family. And because like I said, just like a spouse or a kid brings you joy and both brings you frustration, so does a business. And so I think it's really important to just be open and honest and communicate with your spouse, because there were times, early on in the business before cash flow was positive, where, money was super tight. And before I incorporated the business and like separated business finances from personal finances, it was just, there was a big struggle there. And just really caused some tension in our marriage and just required a lot of communication between myself and my husband, and a lot of understanding and just supporting each other. Because like I mentioned, my husband's not an entrepreneur. He has a job. And so because I'm so enthusiastic and passionate about entrepreneurship, it's important that I don't disregard what impassions and motivates him, which is not having his own business. So I've been learning a lot, and my friend Susie has been teaching me a lot about how to show interest in what my husband does, because honestly, when you have a strong marriage, everything else in your life is so much easier,
That's true.
So I guess my key lessons learned are just really have to do with my personal relationships. Because when you have good relationships, everything else is a lot easier.
Oh, yeah. I can definitely agree with you about communication. Me and my husband, we have been together for about 9 years now. And before we got married or before we had a child, the communication was there, but it's like we didn't necessarily have to be as clear or upfront about anything that was going on. But now that we both have businesses, there is a child involved, and our days are just so busy, we have to have that communication in order for us to even, keep that relationship going and to be able to understand, okay, who's going to be where at what time and who's going to be doing what with who, just so everything can flow so much smoother and plan our day accordingly.
One tip that Susie gave me that I would love to share, because it's an actionable piece of advice that anyone can implement today with their spouses. And I got this tip from her after my husband had told me that he didn't feel like I was showing as much interest in his work, because he's really interested in my business. He loves talking about it and like, what happened with your clients? Like he just is very interested in it. Like it's interesting for him to see the business grow and to see how I take in new clients. I'm gonna tell you right now, I don't really care what he does from 9 to 5. It doesn't like I am supportive of him and I am interested in him, but I don't really care what he's doing at his job. And that was hard for him because he's like, it's not fair because I'm interested in what you're doing, but you're not really interested in what I'm doing. So Susie helped me understand that, I have to really communicate the fact that I am interested in his happiness and I'm interested in what motivates him and what makes him happy. So she gave me some communication tips in terms of what to say to show my interest. So I would say, I would ask questions like, what were the best parts of your day and why? So he might say, oh, I had this great meeting with this person about this, and I'm not necessarily caring about what the meeting was about, but I'll say, why was that, like, how did that make you feel? Why was that call so great to you? And then you really, and like for me, what I learned is, oh, his eyes really started to light up when he talked about how it made him feel, not necessarily what he was talking about. So I would just encourage people to use that. And at first he was like, because I kind of sounded really scripted, like, how does that make you feel? But it does help. It really helps open you up.
Oh, and there is a big difference between the two of, actually what he does and how he feels about what he does.
Yeah.
So I can see the difference there. I might have to implement some of those things myself.
Yeah. Susie also says what her and her husband, they've been married 31 years, and they still like end the
Wow.
day by saying, "What were your highs and lows today? What were the best parts of your
Yeah.
day? What were the worst parts of your day?" Because especially having a kid, you and I both have almost, I have an almost 2-year-old, you have a 2-year-old. Sometimes you finish the day, you get your kid to bed, you eat dinner, and you're just both hitting the couch, half asleep, looking
Yep.
at Facebook and watching TV. And it's really good to just sometimes like turn off the TV for 5 minutes and just like say, "Hey, what was the best part of your day today? What were the worst part of your day today?" And let's just, connect, because then you don't feel like you're just working all the time, and
Yeah.
whether it's your business or your, because your household really becomes a business when you have kids. Like,
Exactly.
you got places to be and people to feed and butts to wipe and
Oh my goodness, I love it. And it's very true. I would say about 85% of the time, Mike and I, we do come together at the end of the night and do a recap and, talk about each other's day. But there are those days where it's like, okay, I don't even want to talk to you. Let me just get in the bed and go to sleep. Wow, Jessica, this was such a powerful and impactful conversation that we've had today. And I know that a lot of mothers will be able to take your information, will be able to feed their soul with it, and they'll be able to use it for their journey that they're trying to get to and help them to make better decisions also. All right, I know there are many women out there that are probably wanting to get in contact with you, ask you some questions, find out more about what you do. So, where in the world is Jessica Rhodes? How can people get in contact with you?
So I've got a lot of different websites online, but I'll point people to my blog, which is entrepreneursupportservices.com. And I believe if you go to jessicaroads.biz, that should redirect you there. But my podcast, if you like listening to podcasts, I'd love for you to check out the Roads to Success podcast at rtspodcast.com. And you can find me on the social media channels, Facebook and Twitter and things like that.
I mean, I am still kind of blown away by the information that I have received today. You are doing such amazing things that I congratulate you on your purpose-driven journey. So thanks again, Jessica. All right, Radiant Mothers, there you have it. Jessica Rhodes, she created her business wanting to be that stay-at-home mom who was committed to her family. Founder and creator of Entrepreneur Support Services, Inc. All of her information will be in the show notes. So if you missed any of the detailed information that she did give, you will be able to get in contact with her. Until next time, stay radiant and keep living your life like it's golden.